so bossy, and I so
bossy,
and I so
sauce.
I'm independent, got my own, and I'm so bossy, and I'm so bossy.
Hey boss friends, and welcome back. I took a break and didn't release an episode for about 2 weeks because life was really lifing. Y'all ever just had a moment where life was just like, damn, like you really showing up and showing off right now? That's where it's been for like 2 weeks. So I haven't released an episode, but today we are back, and I hope you've been enjoying all the episodes thus far of season 5 Code Word. I have about 4, maybe 5 more episodes to release, and then we are in this season 5 and heading into season 6. But today I have a good friend of mine, another boss friend in the boss's seat, Brianna Queen, joining us. We are going to talk about all things sales. That is so important. Like when you have a business, when you do anything, whether it is being an influencer, whether you have a business, whether you are having a side hustle, knowing how to sell your product, sell yourself, is one of the most important things when it comes down to having something of your own. I know we talk about branding, we talk about marketing, we talk about business structure, but we don't really talk about sales and how to master that. And I think Brianna Queen is the perfect person to tell us about that today. So this is episode 6, season 6, Code Word. Sales. If you are new here, I didn't even greet you guys. If you're new here, welcome. You are going to love it here, I promise. Your bossy is friend of podcast. We have fun. We turn up. We just have a really good time over here, so I'm happy that you are joining us. And boss friends, the true boss friends, the boss friend gang, welcome back. You guys, sit back, relax, get your notepad out, and enjoy this episode.
I'm independent, got my own, and I'm so bossy, and I'm so bossy.
Hey, boss friends, and welcome back. So I told you, I have the queen of sales today in the boss's seat. Now, when we talk about sales, we can go all day, right? Because sales is the one thing that you need to master in order to be successful pretty much in anything. Even if you are in that, you know, 9-to-5 level and you're looking to be that C-suite executive, you have to know how to sell yourself, right? I think sales and pitching kind of align. And, you know, I am a publicist and a business coach, but since I wear the hat of a publicist, my job is pitching. Now, being a publicist, I don't handle marketing, which leads to direct sales, but you can always hire someone that focuses just on that. So in the boss seat today, I have Miss Brianna Queen. Funny story, Brianna and I met around, I think, 2 years ago. We both had the same speaking engagement, and we were the only two that were speaking in the same room after hours. So she went before me, which is so funny because, like I said, sales and pitching go hand in hand. So she went before me, then I came on the stage after her. But that's how our relationship began. So, Brianna, welcome to Your Bossiest Friend, the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited for our conversation today. But before we get started, can you jump in really quickly, you know, and brag on yourself? I don't think that we get enough time, enough chances through all the hard work that we do to really brag on ourselves. So let the boss friends know exactly who you are and what you do.
Yes, my name is Brianna Queen. I am a digital marketing expert. I specialize in sales and video marketing. Sales and video marketing is bae. I've been featured on OWN, yes, the Oprah Winfrey Network, HBO, 10 News, Huffington Post, and I just really help service-based entrepreneurs sell with ease and authentically.
I love that. I love sell with ease because selling can be hard. Like, people think pitching is easy until they get to it, and I tell them all the components of pitching. So how did you get into that space? Let's talk about that first before we get into how hard sales is, because that sounds like a job within itself.
So I got into, so my background, my bachelor's degree is actually in advertising. And funny story, I actually majored in public relations when I was in college.
Really?
And I sucked at the writing because it's like a pyramid writing. And so I was like not getting good grades in my PR. I wanted to do fashion PR, right? Mm-hmm. And I just could not get good grades in these PR classes, no matter how much I like worked. And then they had like a feature article assignment. Did this feature article assignment, it was bomb, right? My advisor was like, Brianna, let me see an office real quick. So I went to the office like, oh no. He was like, Brianna, PR is not for you, sis. Like, oh my gosh. He was telling the truth though. He was like, you have a very imaginary, very creative writing. Like, focus on advertising and marketing. That's going to be where you shine. And that was where I shined. So my background was already kind of in advertising, sales, and marketing, but I kind of really started focusing on it once I became an entrepreneur and I wasn't getting any sales and I had to go back to the drawing board.
That is so funny. That now to have an advisor say, listen, sis, you need to change your course of work. That's deep. Because, you know, most advisors, they don't care. They're either trying to give you extra electives or make you do something that does not apply. But he said, no, you need to go focus on something way different. I wish somebody would have told me that when I first got to college and I thought that I was going to be a psychology major. Like, I wish there was an assessment to say, no, sis, this is not for you. But luckily, I found my journey just by getting involved on campus. So since you, let's talk about that, your college life and actually getting into sales and switching over and doing that after you graduated. So once you graduated and you became an entrepreneur, what was that first like moment where you realized like, okay, I need to make a shift in my business to make sales, to make a certain level of sales?
So I pivoted so much in my career. So after graduating college, I did like social media management. Then I started this YouTube channel that was strictly just beauty, just strictly showing like my beauty journey. It happened by accident. I created this YouTube channel because I had a client from my social media management company say, help me with YouTube. Started this beauty YouTube channel. Beauty YouTube channel blew the heck up. 90,000 subscribers, millions of views. Yeah, those are the videos that are like featured on OWN and stuff. So my YouTube channel like blew up. So I pivoted. I became a beauty YouTuber. I became a makeup artist. I had cosmetics. Like, I had a whole makeup career.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And most people know me for like Brianna Queen used to do beauty. So I was really successful as a makeup artist, as a beauty YouTuber. And I realized like now in retrospect, I was successful because I was good at sales and marketing. And that was like my favorite part. My favorite part was marketing. My favorite part was not doing the makeup. I actually did not enjoy doing that. My favorite part was the marketing and the sales. I had, you know, beauty books, all of this stuff. So after like having this YouTube channel where I was doing beauty, I just didn't really enjoy it. I was like, I don't really like this. I like the marketing sales aspect of it, but I don't like the actually doing makeup aspect of it. So I pivoted back into like my background, which was sales and marketing. And from there, you know, it was funny because when I was doing beauty, I was successful because I did sales and marketing. But then when I started focusing on sales and marketing, sis couldn't get no sales and marketing.
First of all, I had no idea you had a whole YouTube. Like, I'm over here in amazement, y'all. She said I had a beauty brand, a whole beauty brand. I had 90K. I had millions of views. Okay. So you said sis is not getting no sales and marketing. Why though? And I think that's the thing that we all ask, like, why is this not happening? And so many entrepreneurs, myself in my earlier years, I'm sure like you just said, you know, you were trying to figure it out. You sometimes just can't understand what's happening. So what do you think the common denominator is amongst all entrepreneurs when it comes to that part?
So entrepreneurs who can't get sales, I want to say there's three things that's really going to help you. First thing is you have to, and it's going to sound cliche, mindset, right? Like if you feel like, for one, if you don't believe in your service or your product, you're not going to be able to sell it. Like you have to believe in this. You have to know like, listen, my service is transformational. I know it can transform your life. Like, let me do that for you. So first thing is you have to have the mindset and faith that you can actually sell it and that you're going to actually transform lives. If you know your service or product is crap, it's going to be hard for you to sell it. So that's one thing. And then two, going back to mindset, you have to feel like you're worthy. You have to feel like you're worthy of selling it. Like I always say, you can sell and serve at the same time. You have to believe you're worthy of, listen, my expertise, my passion, my gift, it's worthy of, I'm worthy of charging a price. I can put a price to my expertise. Like it's not wrong of me. I'm not pimping out my passion. So that's the first thing, mindset. Second thing is you have to have a consistent strategy. I don't say just consistency. I don't say just strategy. No, sis. It needs to be consistent strategy. It needs to be a strategy that's consistent so that you can actually ensure that it works. And it needs to be
a consistent that's strategic, because if it's not strategic, if you're just being consistent just to be consistent, then boo, you're not gonna get anywhere. Like, like just posting to post is lame. It's just adding to the noise. You have to be consistent with a strategy. So that's number two, a consistent strategy. And then number three is it has to be sustainable. Like, that is, you cannot flourish in sales if your business is not sustainable. If you go 1 month and the next month you're exhausted, it's not sustainable. You're not going to be able to have those consistent sales.
Absolutely. And everything you just said literally sparked so much in my thinking, because with the social media aspect, I'm going to touch on that first. The social media aspect is killing a lot of entrepreneurs because, again, like you said, you have to be strategic when you post. You have to post with impact. But then there's a lot of entrepreneurs that don't invest in that content, right? They don't invest in the content. They figure, okay, well, I can do filler posts, or I can use these low quality posts and X, Y, and Z. So let's really get into that part, because I think before we get any deeper in our conversation, they need to understand the investment piece before the sales piece. So many, we go back to what we just said, why am I not making these sales? Why am I not seeing this revenue? Why can't I sustain this type of profit? It just goes back to the original investment being made. Mm-hmm. And a lot of entrepreneurs' investment is into YouTube University and Google University, and thinks that is what you just said, going to make them sustainable. So I guess that's a two-part type of question, because one, when should they eliminate that Google University and YouTube University to learn about sales and how to properly do their business, and then that investment piece?
So I'm going to say this. Somebody may turn off the podcast after I say this. You cannot free your way to $1 million. Point blank period. You cannot make $1 million trying to gather up freebies, trying to watch YouTube University, okay. Google College, because for one, look, I love YouTube. I have two YouTube channels. I got Brianna Queen Behind the Scenes. That's the one with the 90,000 subscribers. I got Brianna Queen Business. Assist loves YouTube. But here's the thing with YouTube and Google content, like, it's free content. At some point, you're going to need something beyond the free content. And on the second part of that, like, why do you want people to invest in you and you can't even invest in yourself?
Because
I know me personally, like, if I want to work with somebody and they don't have a website, I'm not going to give my money to you if you can't even invest $7.99 in a website. Why should I? You don't believe in yourself.
Listen, and be clear to them, Brie. Be clear to them. Not a website that they just threw together, because that somebody going to hear them like, well, okay, I'm going to make a website today and I'm going to just put some pictures on it.
No, it better not be no WordPress.com/lashes I love. No, ma'am. You cannot free your way to $1 million. You need to invest in your craft as an entrepreneur. You have two ways that you can go about it. You can spend your time and not your money. It's going to take you a heck of a lot, you know, slower time to get to where you want to go, or you can invest your money and get there faster. It's up to you what you want to do, but you won't be able to freebie up your way to $1 million. You're just not going to be able to. Like, you're going to have to make an investment in yourself, because when you invest in yourself, one, you're invested, because you're like, listen, I done made this big investment. I'm going to be consistent and strategic. And on top of that, when you invest in yourself, I feel like it's a never ending circle. You invest in yourself and people will invest in you, but you can't be a business coach and you've never had a business. You know, you can't, right? Like, you can't try to have this business and make sales if you're not investing in your business. Like, it's going to be inconsistent. You're going to be burnt out. You're going to wonder, like, why am I not hitting these sales? And it's because, sis, like, you're not even investing in yourself to get the sales.
Absolutely. And I tell people that all the time. I'm going to tell you something funny, but somebody told me first. Someone told me, they said, hey, girl, you know, I love all the content that you're putting out. I can't wait to work with you one day. But until then, I'm just going to keep taking up this free information and getting where I can.
That's like saying, I'm going to go to the gym once I lose 30 pounds.
So you're going to, and I don't think people realize, like, freebies and the information that we put out is to alleviate certain pain points. It's not to cure it.
Mm-mm.
It's not. It's quick. Right. It's to alleviate. It's kind of like getting a flu shot almost. it's preventing you, it's giving you the antibodies to keep you from getting the flu, but it's not saying you're going to completely get rid of it. It's never not going to happen to you. It's just making you a stronger candidate not to receive the flu. That's exactly what that is. We're just making you comfortable and educating you to progress a little, but that's not to have you making $1 million.
Mm-mm. We're giving you quick wins, but we're not going to, you can't solve the overarching problem with free content. Like, I'll give the example. I use this example, like yesterday in my live, like somebody can watch a video and it's like how to pop a pimple. Right. And they watch the video and I'm like, oh yeah, I know how to pop my pimple. That's not even the overarching problem. The overarching problem is maybe your skincare regimen sucks. When you work with this person, they're going to help you not just pop your pimple, but eliminate pimples altogether, you know, prevent the scarring, have glowing skin. That's the overarching problem and solution, not popping a pimple. Free content is those quick wins. It's not going to solve the overarching issue.
Absolutely. I agree. So let's hop into this social media piece. So social media is clearly another demon, but you can make so much money from it. So for the people who don't invest in photo shoots. Brie, how many times do you have a photo shoot a year? I just want to know like how much content you actually produce really quickly.
So I love video. So since I really focus on sales and video, I don't have a lot of photo shoots now, but I do have at least one a year just to stay updated. Okay. But my photo shoot, I take lots of photos, like different. So I have photos of me on a computer, on a laptop, on a mic, but I do focus on video. So with video, I don't have to take as many photos because my Instagram is mostly video. Okay, and so my YouTube, obviously.
Are you recording? Because it's mostly video, but that's good though, because a lot of people are camera shy and don't want to record videos. And I think videos are important because that gives a certain level of personability that could be missing through a photo.
Yeah. And with video, like video, people who market with video grow their revenue 49% faster than those who don't. And that's why I really focus on video marketing and sales, because video really grows that know, like, and trust faster than a blog post, faster than a photo. Like, video converts. We can see you, we can hear you, we can see like how you know, move your hands and fingers. It's all of those elements. So video is powerful. And if someone tells me like, oh, I'm too scared to be on video, it's like, it's not about you. Like, it's about your audience. Like, get on video so that you can share your story, share your expertise, share your message. And you're going to be able to sell easier when you are serving and selling at the same time.
Absolutely. I agree. I definitely agree with that. I do notice the difference when I have my videos posted. And I love having IGTV full of everything for you to go back and look at. I love doing the reels and the TikToks and stuff, just different interaction pieces on video, because that is true. You do get a larger reach. People are able to engage with it and they're constantly able to engage and go back and pause and do it at their own pace. A hack that I was using and telling people, when I, you know, if you have your own hack, definitely feel free to give that. I was saying, when I do my IG lives, I save them and I break them up into different types of series for my IGTV. So it can be like 5-minute videos. So if I'm on live and I'm giving gems for an hour, that's a whole hour full of content that I can break apart and now post as videos on IGTV to now reuse.
Mm-hmm. And for me, like, it takes me 2 hours to create an entire month of content. So 2 hours, literally, because I take 2 hours. I record my 4 YouTube videos. So that's 4 YouTube videos. I turn my YouTube videos into podcast episodes. So I have a podcast. It's called the Brianna Queen Podcast. And people who don't like video, they can listen to the podcast episodes. So I have my YouTube videos. They're now podcast episodes. I also take those podcast episodes, I get them transcribed, and I make them into IGTV videos. So you can watch my YouTube video on YouTube, or you can watch it on IGTV with the transcription at the bottom, or you can listen to it via podcast. But I ain't done, sis. So I take that transcription of that video and I add it to my blog post. So now I have my blog post that includes my transcription, that includes the video, that includes the podcast episode. And then if I see something like really cool in the video, I'll take that little 30-second snippet and turn it into a reel or a post. So it takes me 2 hours to create an entire month of content, because one video is repurposed into a podcast episode, an IGTV post, and a blog post and a reel.
Oh, you mean to tell me I've been doing it all wrong? Because clearly you said 2 hours and I was trying to figure out where, because this over here, Wednesdays, all Wednesday is my content day. Everybody knows content Wednesdays is Milan days. And I'm literally up at 8 o'clock to about 4 o'clock working on content, and you just told me in 2 hours, Brianna, gather me, please gather me, okay? Because I think everybody was just trying to figure out how. Like, literally anyone that I talked to, they're like, oh yeah, content takes me about 6-7 hours to do, and you just said, you came and said two.
It takes me 2 hours because it takes me 20 minutes to record one video, so you know that's 40 minutes for two, so 2 hours. I have somebody else edit my videos. I don't edit my videos my own, because there's a difference between working in your business and own your business. I used to edit videos. I don't want to do it no more. somebody else does that. So I just record the videos, and then from there, they edit them, and then they're IGTV and they're podcast episodes. And it's nothing to take a YouTube video and remove the video aspect off and make it audio. So for me, I just take the first Friday of every single month, and I just record my 4 videos, and that's my content for the entire month.
But I'm glad you said that you had someone working on it, because somebody needs to hear that, because we talked about investing, and that went over their head.
Mm-hmm.
Because we tell people all day, invest, and they're like, well, who do you have on your team? You just literally said, I record the content, but I give it to somebody else to edit, to finish it, and then hand it back to me. And then that allows you to show up effectively, to schedule, to plan it, to make the sale. Yeah. Had you not had the person there to edit, how much time do you think you would spend on editing? Honestly,
at least, like, and I'm extra, so I like my videos having all the sound effects and the little, you know, the
her videos are dope.
I'm extra. So if I was doing that myself, hands down, that's gonna take me at least 2 weeks, because for one, I have somebody who majored in editing. Like, that is her craft. She loves it. She can whip those editing videos out quickly. If editing's not the skill that you want to cultivate, girl, give that to somebody else and focus on what you're good at. I'm good at sales and marketing.
Her info, because sis over here needs her info, like, today, because I'm tired of editing my podcast and editing everything. I'm tired.
Yep, and she edits the video. She turns it into a podcast episode for me, so I have everything I need, and it just required 2 hours of me. So after I have these 2 hours of content, now I have time to sell. Now I have time to serve. I'm not, you know, depleted, because I've been trying to edit videos and record podcast episodes. I repurposed my content. So now I have all this time to focus on my personal life, or to focus on serving and selling to my audience. Because especially as, like, a solopreneur, your biggest focus is getting people into your pipeline and converting them. It's not those little bitty teeny tiny things like scheduling video. Like, give that to somebody else so you can focus on the things that are going to bring in revenue.
Absolutely. So I really want to jump back into the social media aspect and talk about sales, but you said something that I just can't shake and move past. I have to ask it, and we have to talk about it before it gets lost in translation. You said you have to work in your business and not on your business. That's where you should be. So now I want to ask you a question that I have not asked on all 5 seasons, and I'm kind of like stumped that I have not asked anyone this. What is a day in the life of you look like? Because when you say that, now I'm thinking, how many entrepreneurs think, I need to work on my business and in my business every day? I don't think we've ever had the conversation of what that looks like.
So for me, and inside my program, like Uncomplicated Sales, like, I really focus on helping entrepreneurs have a sustainable business. Mm-hmm. So sustainable to me is, what do you want to do? Do that. What do you not want to do? Delegate it, eliminate it, or automate it. So for me, I take one day out the entire month. I create all of my content. Somebody else edits it. Either I will schedule it out, or my VA will schedule it out. I don't work more than 4 hours a day in my business. I don't have to, because I automate, delegate, eliminate things that I don't want to do, or I don't need to do, things that don't serve me. Nobody can sell for me. Like, that is what I do. I sell and market. I improve my program. I work with my clients. Nobody can do that for me, but somebody else can edit my videos. Somebody else can, you know, schedule my emails and schedule my blog posts. So I'm a big believer in that automate, delegate, or eliminate. So little things that don't require you can require somebody else, or a little thing that you can automate. Like, I know people who, you know, every single month, every single week, they're pushing out email content. Girl, take a day, write all your emails and schedule them suckers out. Automate that stuff. That is between working in your business and own your business, in it and on it. Like, think about what is required of me, and whatever is not required of you, can you automate it? Can you delegate it? Can you eliminate it?
That's good. That, you literally have like 10 things that you didn't say on this episode that I'm like, oh, this could be the snippet. No, this could be the snippet, because you just keep dropping them. I like that though. I'm so big on automation. Like, automations, I feel like, run the business, honestly. Yeah. Truth be told. So when we talk about automations, we talk about sales funnels, right? Because you put people in a funnel. So you're eventually going to get them on your mailing list, and you're going to start automating things to them. A lot of people struggle with building their mailing list, and then they struggle with actually understanding what type of content to deliver. Do you have any advice in that area for people that may or may not know how to get people on their mailing list and really don't understand the type of content to engage them to actually get them to make that sale?
Yeah. So when it comes to content, and I focus more on this in my program, but I believe content should have three different cycles. There is attract content, there is nurture content, and then there's convert content. Attract content is the educational how-to content, the most popular content. That's the content that gets people to discover you, gets people to like start following you, stuff of that nature. A lot of entrepreneurs and people in general create a lot of how-to style, attraction style content, that lead generation. Then there's nurture content. Nurture content is where you really start establishing that know, like, and trust. People are like, okay, I follow Brianna. Wow, like she's giving some really good gems. They start feeling connected to you. And then there is another phase of content, and this is convert. This is the content that people don't know how to create. This is like what I really focus on in my program. Convert content is when you get people to actually take action and want to work with you. It's one thing people to find out about you and discover you and have that know, like, and trust with you. But if they don't feel like you can solve their overarching problem and they need to work with you to have it solved, then they won't work with you. And a lot of people say, oh, well, I suck at sales, but I'm creating all this content. And it's like, okay, but are you just creating attraction content? Are people getting stuck at this attraction content where they know who you are? You're giving them these quick wins, but you're not giving them this content to where they're like, man, my problem isn't that, you know, I suck at sales. My problem is nobody knows who I am. Let me hire this PR expert. Let me hire this publicist who can help me get there. So then they want to take action and actually work with you. So I 100% three types of content that I really focus on: attract, nurture, convert. You have to create all three. Convert content is going to take action. Whether that is, hey, join my email list. Hey, subscribe and get this freebie. Hey, book this call. So if you are finding that you're not getting people to take action, look at the kind of content that you are creating. Are you giving people a CTA, which is a call to action? Are you creating these, you know, posts and their filler posts, but at the end of the post, you're not saying, if you want to learn more, watch my webinar? Like, you have to give people the next steps to work with you, or the next steps after they consume this content.
Absolutely. Again, funneling. So for those who don't know exactly like a full-on sales funnel by like the short definition and like the key points, can you break that down for them really quickly?
So a funnel is just really getting them from knowing who you are to going through your cycle, trusting you with their email address or with the text message. Because sometimes you have a text message funnel. So it's getting people to, one, discover you, two, sign up for your email or sign up for your text messaging, and then go down that funnel of knowing who you are, you know, liking you, trusting you, and wanting to work with you. So it is a funnel of taking them from point A to point Z. Point Z is being working with you. Point A is being discovering you. What's the middle letter in the alphabet? M, N. Point M or N is connecting to you. So knowing who you are, connecting to you, and then wanting to work with you or buy your item or buy your offer, whatever that may be. Turning them into a content consumer, into an actual client.
And boom. So I don't want to hear anyone after this episode saying, I'm not making sales. I don't know what to do. She's giving you the blueprint. Now, like she said, she has a whole workshop on this, right? So you're going to go book her to get the real gems and the really tap inside to get to what we said earlier, you know, that $1 million. You can't get to that millionaire mark with free stuff. Okay. So this isn't going to help you get there. Just educated you. You just heard the funnel. She's educating you right now. You got it, right? Y'all are educated. So now go to Brianna and hire her and make your life so much easier so you can start executing these sales even more. So Brie, let's go back some. Let's take it some steps back, because I know my listeners, I know our boss friends. Somewhere someone is sitting there like, okay, Brianna, you got me together on the email marketing. You got me together with investing and hiring people. But sis, social media, like, I'm trying to make sales on social media. They're missing that, right? So they heard you when you got the email marketing. Okay, I got people because I put a freebie up, but I want to sell from my social media. I want to actually draw people to schedule a discovery call from my social media. I want to actually draw people to purchasing my product, even though I know you deal with just service-based businesses, but I want to, you know, get people there based off my social media. How can I monetize on social media platforms?
So the first thing is post with intent. When I earlier I said, you know, you have to have a consistent strategy. a lot of people are just posting to post, and they're just adding to them. There's a lot of noise on social media. Mm-hmm. And if you're just posting to post, you're just doing them little cute quotes all the time, like, you know, boss women do boss things. That's just adding to the noise, girl. Like, people are like, oh, that's cute. They're going to share it. They might like it. They may be your little cheerleader, like, yes, sis, you stay with the gems. They're not going to work with you because you ain't really did. You ain't did nothing. You just add into the noise. When it comes to like selling on social media, for one, you need to be posting with intent. When you are posting, what is the point of this posting? Like, I know for me, like, one thing that kind of aggravates me when people people have posts and they have a filter and are just moving their hair from side to side. Girl, what is the point of this? What is the intention of this post of you? If there's not a cute like post or, you know, cute caption behind it, it's not going to do anything. It's not going to move the needle. So when you are posting, it needs to be with intent. First thing. Second thing, when you are posting, it does need to be consistent, not just consistent on I post every single Monday and Friday, but it needs to be consistent in the delivery. You can't have one post and it's so bomb, like, oh, this just snatched my edges. And then the next post looks like blah. You need to be consistent in the delivery. If you're creating videos, you can't have one video and it's all 4K quality, and the next video looks like you created on a 2006 Motorola camera. It's not consistent with the delivery and the quality. So you need to be consistent, not just in time, but delivery. You need to be strategic. You need to post with intent. And then I operate in a, like I said, serve over nerve. I truly believe in selling and serving at the same time. Don't be so focused on the sales. I got to get sales. That's very slimy. Focus on how can I serve my audience with my expertise, my knowledge, my passion, and sell at the same time. Have a video where you're sharing three reasons why you need to start focusing on public relations. At the end of the video saying, listen, I've just given you three reasons why. If you need help, book a call with me. Here's the link down below. So when you are serving to people, sell to them as well at the very end. Drop the little bombs. You know, throughout this podcast episode, I've said, you know, inside my program, I teach you more about this. I'm still giving you the gems, but I'm letting you know, hey, if you want this overarching solution to your problem, here's how you can get it. So serving and selling, posting with intent, and being consistent.
Brianna keeps giving us 3 points, y'all. This whole episode, Brianna said three things. So on your paper, you should have about 21 things at this point, because as many three things as she said and she's giving you, you literally should walk away when you're 21 savage-ish, okay? You should be ready to jump in and be a savage in your business at this point. So I hope somebody's listening, somebody's taking this in, because you came to this episode, right? I said in episode one, like Sarah Jakes Roberts said, I came to make hell nervous in this season, honestly, because the work that God is about to start doing in these businesses from the women that's on this season, it's going to shake some things up in hell, okay? Hell is going to be sitting there like, hold on now, God, I didn't know God had these many warriors, these many people making a difference and serving. And that's what Brianna keeps saying, serving. And I think that's important to jump into when we talk about actually serving your audience. A lot of times, Brie, people get misconstrued in their business, right? They're in it for the money. They want the money. I think we all want revenue and profit, but I think it's really important to understand how to properly serve an audience, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about serving your audience, what is the one thing that if you do nothing else in your business, you want to say that you did?
I 100% want to say that I left this world better than how I found it. And that can be tiny. When I was doing beauty, like beauty makeup artists, and the biggest compliments to me were, I remember I have a video and it's like how to do your makeup for an interview, right? And people would watch this video and I would get comments and they were like, oh my God, girl, I followed your interview makeup and I did makeup just like that for my interview. I felt so confident and I got the job. That is me leaving this world better than how I found it. Something as simple as teaching you how to do your eyeliner, somebody has breathed easier because of me. That is how I operate. I operate in, I want to leave this world better than how I found it. And in the same breath, I am deserving of living a good life. I am deserving of not having to struggle. I am deserving of being able to make money and not sitting there looking like, oh, I guess I'm going to have peanut butter and jelly tonight. I'm deserving of having my crab legs. I'm deserving of having my hair done and my nails done. I am deserving of being able to give and to profit. So it is okay to leave this world better than how you found it. and not have to struggle. Like, you are deserving of helping people and at the same time profiting. It's not a bad thing. People feel like money's a bad thing. Money is a man-made thing. You are put on this earth to serve, but you can also sell at the same time. And I keep saying serve and sell because it's so important when you focus on sales and marketing, is to do both.
I love that. Your episode may change. Your episode is code word sales. It might be code word sales and serve at this point, because those are two code words that are very important. So before we wrap up, I want to discuss with you that scale and sale, right? Or that sales and scale motion. So a lot of entrepreneurs will get to their first six figures by their sales. In season four, Kashara and I kind of sat and we talked about that. We talked about how you can definitely get to six figures alone. But getting to the next six figures by yourself is impossible. Getting to that seven-figure mark by yourself is impossible. So for entrepreneurs who are, and I kind of want to, I want to talk to my entrepreneurs who have touched six figures right now. So if you haven't touched six figures, don't feel discouraged. Don't feel bad. I just kind of want to touch on this piece because they're stuck right now on that next level. They've shifted their prices, right? But now, and I think this is important, they aren't seeing the sales like they used to on the prices they had before, because they're like, okay, I know I have a product, it works, it's time to up my prices, and that's fine. But now they're not seeing the traction like they're used to, which means something is faulty in sales. What would you say about that?
I'm a firm believer in having very few offers, but once you hit a certain amount of money, like once you've capped out, it's time to start selling to your warm audience. A lot of people forget that. Like, it's like, okay, I had a 200 people go through my program. What is the next level? You know, like for me, my program teaches service-based entrepreneurs who aren't hitting those consistent, you know, $10,000 a month. It teaches them how to have this sales system to sell consistently. Well, what happens at the very next phase of selling consistently, you're going to have to get to a point where you no longer can sell like that. Like, you're going to have to, maybe somebody who's hitting those five figures, maybe they're ready to hit those six figures. That's the next level. That's the new problem. Maybe it's time to create a new offer where you're teaching women not just how to have those five-figure months, but now have those six-figure months. So if you've sometimes you've tapped out on your audience, it's okay to sell to your warm audience, especially if you've mastered that first thing. Another thing, like sometimes you just need to hire somebody else whose expertise is better than you. Like, you may be good at marketing, but somebody else may be excellent at marketing, and they may be able to take you to that next level because they're different eyes. They have different experience and education. So yeah, you can hit six figures by yourself. You can work yourself to death to hit the six figures. You can't work yourself to death to hit the seven figures. Like, you're going to have to hire people. Things are going to break in your system. You know, you can hit six figures on only 10 clients. When you start hitting those multiple six figures, you may have to have team members to ensure people aren't falling through the cracks. So hiring people who can help you, whose expertise in whatever it is may be better than yours. And then on top of that, thinking about, can I sell to my already warm audience? So there are different ways to, if you've plateaued in income, there's different ways to break through it, but it's all going to go back to knowledge. Like, you can't stay where you are and not, you have to think differently. And in order to think differently, you're going to have to invest in people who can take you to that next level.
I love that. I love that. And that is so true. And I was sitting there thinking, I keep saying this is the last question, but you are just giving me fire today and you are fueling my tank. I was saying that the other day, and I made a tweet on Twitter, and I said, there's a difference between having employees and having a team. Mm-hmm. It's a huge difference. People think because they have people working for them, they have a team. In my mindset and the way I look at it and process it, the team that I have are the people who are contributing to my growth as the business owner, right? And my employees are people who are contributing to the growth of the actual business itself. So when I say contributing to my growth as a business owner, yes, they are still contributing to the business. I look at my team members as me hiring another business coach. I'm a business coach, but I need a business coach. Mm-hmm. You need somebody that's better than you. I am a creative. I think of different ways to make money all day long. I think of different programs, different systems, different strategies. But then I'm talking to myself. I can talk to my employees and they say, yeah, that's great. But it's like, yeah, we like that. But they're not a business coach who can find a fault in that and say, actually, that's going to fall here. Mm-hmm. You know, you need someone to always think bigger than you. I said, I need a life coach. because I need to show up in this business. I can sit there and talk to my best friends all day and they'll tell me, girl, you're fine. You got this. Go to sleep. Take a break. Your life coach is going to pull you aside and pull you by your collar and say, no, what you need to do is delegate. What you need to do is turn that computer. They're going to guide your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be better for your business to then contribute to your employees, to fuel them so they can help grow that business. So it's right. A trickle down effect. So for you, Brianna, who do you have on your team right now that's really contributing to the growth of you and your business?
So I have not scaled to 7 figures yet, but I have a 7-figure coach because there are things that just I don't know what I don't know. Right. So I have someone who gives me tangible tips, strategy, but not so much, even more than that, gives me accountability. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I'm going to hit 7 figures and I got this strategy, but you need somebody who's going to check you. They're going to say, hey, how's that strategy going? Have you been doing it? Are you doing it right? And if I fail, so let's say I have a launch and my launch is unsuccessful, I can cry myself to sleep at night. Or if I have a coach, I can say this launch failed, and then she can give me those second eyes and say, well, let's see why this failed, because failure's feedback. She's going to be the one to say, well, let's see why I failed. Let's go back to the drawing board. She's going to have those second eyes. So she's going to prevent me from falling into this, oh, I'm a failure, but more so, okay, you failed at this, but this is feedback. How can we improve it? So coaches can provide that accountability. They can provide those second eyes. They can provide strategy. They can provide community. Sometimes you just need to talk to somebody who understands where you're coming from. You know, like I talked to my fiance about business, but somebody who focuses on business, they're going to be able to get me. So having people on your team who will speak life into you and will help you get to where you want to go, like it's so valuable.
Absolutely. So how early do you think people should start bringing on a team? Because I know there's someone listening and they're going to say, well, Brianna, sis, this sounds all good, but you're trying to get to 7 figures. You don't already hit 6. Now you're trying to get to 7. You're trying to scale. But what about those entrepreneurs and individuals who haven't hit that? They haven't even hit 4-figure months yet, but they're struggling and they probably do need a team to guide them. What would you say as far as that and how to make those investments? Because we already know investing in quality is expensive.
So the first thing I would say is simplify it. If you're not hitting consistent 4-figure months, then you need to simplify it. People want to master YouTube and Instagram and Clubhouse and Facebook and Twitter, but it's like, girl, you're not even making $1,000 a month. Like, focus on one thing. Maybe that platform is Instagram. Maybe that platform is YouTube. Focus on that one platform. Focus on being consistently strategic with that and be persistent. A lot of times people, entrepreneurs, they start a YouTube channel, they create YouTube videos for 2 months or 3 months. Those videos get 40 views. They're like, eh, it ain't for me. And they end it. You have to be persistent. If you struggle with that, you need to hire somebody who's going to help you. If you struggle with being persistent, then you need to hire somebody that's going to help you be accountable. If you struggle with having a clear strategy that works, then you need to hire somebody that's going to give you the blueprint. If you struggle, if you don't have enough time, if you're a mom and you got 6 kids and you're like, girl, I ain't got time to do all this, then you need to focus on somebody who's going to take stuff off your plate. So take a day, write down what are your strengths, what are you suffering at, and then who can help you fill in those gaps. For me, like with my program, a lot of my students, they struggle with bringing in consistent income because they don't have a blueprint. They don't have a proven blueprint. They're reading books. They're on YouTube University, on Google Academy. They're consuming all this outdated strategies, like trying to email their audience every single day. That worked in 2013. It don't work now. Where they need, they need to invest in someone who will give them a blueprint and they can continue to go through it. So whatever gaps you are lacking, get somebody to help you with that. And please focus on 1 to 2 platforms. You don't have to be on every single thing. You can hit your 6 figures on YouTube. You can hit your 6 figures on Instagram alone. You can hit your 6 figures on Pinterest. Like, but you have to have a clear strategic strategy that's consistent.
I'm just going to say praise God to all of that. Because when I say, I tell my coaching clients this all the time, I'm like, how many platforms do you have? They're like, I have LinkedIn, I have Twitter, I have TikTok, Bibo. I'm like, Bibo's still a thing? Why are you on Bibo? And I'm just listening to all the platforms they say, and I'm like, okay, but who's your audience? who's the audience? They're like, oh, 21 to 45, working women. And I'm like, okay, well, first and foremost, if these women are working as hard as they, you say they're working, they're probably on LinkedIn. They're probably getting on Instagram a couple of times out the day, but they're definitely not on TikTok talking away, because that takes too much dedication. So you're on TikTok talking to nobody, because your audience, these are working women, like you say, they're career-driven women. They're not on TikTok. So I think that's super important that you said that, that you don't have to be on every platform to be successful.
Yeah, and 21 to 49 is a demographic. And I have to tell my clients, like, well, who's your audience? 29 to 43 women. Girl, that's a demographic. What? Who's your audience?
Exactly. Like,
what's their problem?
Exactly. And that, and I'm glad you said that too, because I want to be clear on that. I tell people that that's a large range, because the 21-year-old or the 29-year-old to 49, they're not thinking the same thing. And if they are, we have a conversation that we need. We have a bigger conversation at hand, because I need to know why y'all are even in the same playing field, that y'all have the same problem. Because again, a 29-year-old and a 49-year-old probably don't have the same problem, depending on what field you're in.
Right. And I mean, an 18-year-old can be going through a breakup, and a 59-year-old can be going through a breakup, but they see life differently. You can't talk to an 18-year-old the same way you talk to a 59-year-old. You can't market to them the same. You can't sell to them the same. You know, I have fitness coaches who are like, well, I help women lose weight. Girl, that is too broad. A mother who's trying to lose those last 10 pounds of baby weight, an 18-year-old who's just trying to lose that weight for summer vacation, and a 70-year-old woman who's just trying to lose weight because she wants to live a longer life, they the core problem's the same, but how they see life and their problem are going to be different. So people say, oh, my audience is this, and it's like, do they look at life the same? Can you really help all of them solve the same problem?
Nope is the answer. I'm going to answer for you. No. I'm glad you said that. I needed someone to co-sign that, like, literally, because I say this all the time, and people were like, well, no, that's who I want to market to. Okay.
When you market to everyone, you resonate with no one. Like,
I say that when you market to everyone, you get anything.
And you don't want anything. Anything will have you crying yourself to sleep at night. Because if you get anything, and I like people, you'll get people who... you have lowered your rate for them. And you know what they say, people don't have the budget, but they sure enough got the audacity. And that's what you will get. People who got the audacity, but they ain't got the coins. And I can tell you for past.
They don't have the audacity to tell you that that's what they want to pay.
Uh-huh. And you're gonna take them, because you just attracted anybody, and they're gonna make your life a living hell. They're gonna be blowing you up. They're gonna be expecting different things. That's a whole nother podcast episode.
To say that, where you have to come back, girl, because we're gonna have to get into it, okay? We got some things to talk about, because then that's the episode we're just gonna have to go through and just rant and vent and just share the horror stories, because it's happened. I think we've all been there, and I don't want anyone to think Brianna and I are perfect. Like, we just woke up and was like, boom, target audience, ideal client. No, we have marketed to the demographic. We have marketed to the target audience. We have marketed down to the ideal client. But it is a process, like she said. And I think the biggest thing that she's talked about over the episode is strategy, consisting, serving, and sales. And I think it's in that order, because you have to understand. First of all, let's put research up there, because you have to research everything. You have to understand where you need to go. And I don't want you guys to think, well, you just said don't go on YouTube University and Google University. I'm saying research in your business. I audit literally almost every day. Like, I go back and reflect on the day before, like, okay, Milan, you put this post up. All right, this is the type of interaction you got. Nothing converted from this post. What do we need to go back do and change? Or if I notice the post, I'll be sitting on my phone and I can see who goes on the website minutes after the post is up. So then I'll be able to gauge where that came from. And like Brianna said, when I put call to actions on my post, I literally can see where everyone is on the website. So I can see if they looked at that post and went to the website for that. And then I'll see if they converted over into a sale, into a discovery call. And if not, I need to go back and figure out why. And it could be that the person wasn't my ideal client. They just wanted to go be nosy. But if you have 100 people visit your website off that one post and that one conversion happened, now you got to take some steps back and really consider. But that's why I said you got to research and really understand your business. And like Ronna said, working in your business and working on your business is important. For me, with my research, and Brianna definitely, you know, counter argue if you don't agree, my research is me working in my business, because that's me creating the next strategy.
Mm-hmm. And you have the time. You're not just so overconsumed with creating all this content that you're not even actually looking at the analytics. You know, if you're so busy trying to create this content that you're not actually at the end of the month, you don't have time to say, okay, what converted? What didn't convert? Like what was popular? What wasn't popular? That's again, creating and posting without intent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. And the framework that I create for my coaching clients, 6-month coaching clients, the first thing we do is get clear on things. We have whole clarity sessions, and the clarity session that we have is getting clear daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly. And people say, well, that's me planning out my year. No, that's you getting clear
mm-hmm.
on goals. And that's you understanding those goals so then you can plan for them. Because in your day-to-day, you shouldn't be waking up planning the goal for the next day. Oh, today, this is my goal. Oh, next week, this is the goal. The goals have already been set for the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is now auditing the day-to-day.
Right.
Like you said, you have freed up that time.
How do you know you've reached success if you haven't written down what success looks like for you? If you write down your yearly goal, then when you hit that yearly goal, you know you've reached that level of success. But if you don't write it down, how do you know you reached success?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you get a team, like with my CPA, I have to have goals. I have to have numbers, and she has to come with numbers. We have to look at our key performance indicators. We have to look at what brought us the most revenue, what stayed on the shelf for a longer period of time than we expected to fix it. But we wouldn't have known how to do that had I not set revenue goals for the day, had I not set revenue goals for the week. And people are like, you set daily revenue goals? You don't? I'm trying to be a billionaire, okay? I'm trying to be up there with Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey. I'm trying to be on that scale. And that scale means having revenue goals daily.
Yeah.
Because you break down making $1 million in a year, what does that look like a day? I think that's like $500 a day. So if you're not setting those goals and looking to make that money, then how are you trying to get to the next level?
And how can you track it? You just like, oh, well, I posted every single day this month. You're like, well, how much money did you make? Oh, no. Girl, that should have been one of the metrics. Like, that's a metric you should be tracking. That's one of the first metrics you should be tracking. Not engagement, revenue.
Thank you. And I don't want to discourage you guys. We're not, LeBron, we've been hard on them. We're not saying don't be proud that you were consistent in posting that month. Be proud of that. But we're saying don't make that your biggest accomplishment to say mm-hmm. that you posted for 30 days. Because if you posted for 30 days and nothing came from it, then did you really post?
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to be the mean girl. I say all these things because I did it. I was the girl that was on YouTube and Facebook and Instagram and Clubhouse. I was burnt out. I wasn't making no money. Like I said, the reason why I started helping people make consistent sales because I wasn't making consistent sales. You know, my bank account was as empty as Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. Like it was dry and I was overworking myself. And it was like, I don't have to work this hard to produce revenue. So everything I say is like mistakes I have made. And girl, I don't want you to make them same mistakes. Like you are deserving of making money and having free time to do stuff. Like we got to get out this mindset of busy work I'm not worthy of charging. I'm not worthy of making money. Girl, yes, you are. Take my mistakes and don't make them too.
Listen to what we're saying and fix them. Okay, Brie, I gotta let you go. I'm gonna let you go. I promise. I got one last question. I promise. Don't kill me. And then I want you to definitely talk about what you have going on in your programs and stuff and how people can actually move forward and work with you. Let's really quickly clarify the revenue versus profit conversation, because people think that, oh yeah, well, last month I made $30,000 in my business, so I want to up and up, but they don't really look at the profit side of things. So can you really break that down really quickly and give a quick tip on how to sustain profit over revenue?
So one thing I want to say is a lot of people be like, oh yeah, I made 6 figures this year, but they don't tell you that they pay $80,000 in ads. They didn't really make that much. So I'm going to give two tips, and this isn't really the answer to your question, but I think it'll really help your audience. So first things first, how many people do you need to make a certain amount of money? So if your program is $10,000 and you want to hit 6 figures, the way I tell my students is tell yourself, this year I want to help 10 women. If you tell yourself this year, I want to help 10 women, that's going to get you your $100,000. So instead of, oh, I got to make $10,000 this month, you tell yourself, I need to help one woman this month with insert whatever solution that you provide. That's the first thing. Number two, how much is it going to cost you to acquire this person? A lot of people, they want to, you know, have Facebook ads. No shade to Facebook ads. I use Facebook ads. Think about, how much money do I want to profit? At the same time, how much money is it going to cost me to acquire this person? If I am running ads, if I have a team of people and the person comes through my pipeline and I've technically only taken home $1,000, is that going to help you hit your revenue goals? So when it comes to like making money, write down one, how much it's going to cost you to actually get that person. Who's on your team? How much is it going to cost for that person on your team? Number two, do you have like, you know, how much is your email provider? How much is all these things? And then three, like, how much do you actually want to take home? How much do you want to make? It's not enough to make six figures if when you add up everything that you have to do to get this person is $90,000, you only profited $10,000. So really focusing on how much do you want to make and how much is going to be required to get this person.
That's good. And that's a drop mic. That's a top mic for y'all to consider and think about people. Think about that. Really stop overworking yourself. I think a lot of us, we work way harder than smarter. And Brianna gave you a simple formula to work smarter. Stop trying to compete and keep up with the Joneses. It's okay. Everything happens at its own pace, but it happens because of strong strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Happens at its own pace because God has his, you know, your footsteps aligned for you, one, but it comes with also having that strategy, because you still have to work, because, you know, faith without works is dead. So you can have all the faith in him that he got your steps ordered and everything, but you do have to work, and you have to work strategically in your business. So I'm gonna let Brianna drop the mic on that one, because I kept telling her, girl, I'm gonna let you go, and then she said something and it triggered. I told you, y'all know how this goes, but when the conversation is good, it's great, and we get the tea on this podcast. So Brianna, I thank you for your time. Before I let you go, let them know where they can follow you at, how much it's going to cost them to work with you, anything that you have going on that they can support. Give it all to them.
Yeah, so I focus on helping service-based entrepreneurs and course creators really generate consistent income. And I only offer one program, that is my program, Uncomplicated Sales. So literally focusing on helping you sell your offer consistently with ease, that's also authentic. I don't believe in being slimy. I'm not going to tell you to slide in people's DMs like, I have a great opportunity for you. I'm not going to do that to you. So it's really focusing on, you know, just simplifying your business. So it's profitable, it's sustainable, and it's feasible for you. So that is how, like, you can work with me. Go to briannaqueen.com. You can slide into my DMs. I have a free training that goes more in depth on my system. I teach a simple sales system. So that's like how you can work with me and how you can like contact me. And I do want to like leave one tip, just one more tip, and we can get out there.
I'm ready for this tip. Go ahead.
So my tip to like new entrepreneurs when it comes to sales and marketing is, it is okay to fail, but I want you to fail with feedback. If you launch an offer and you don't get any sales, take that failure as feedback. Say, okay, what didn't work? Ask your audience, hey, why didn't you buy from me? Hey, what was it about this offer that you felt like just wasn't a good fit for you? I feel like one reason why I've gotten really good at sales and marketing is because every failure has been feedback for me. Every time something didn't go right, I went back to the drawing board and I said, okay, this didn't really work. So what can I do next time to make this work? Lean on your audience, ask your audience, send an email saying, hey, you know, I launched this program. I noticed that you didn't buy it. How come? And then taking their feedback and improving it. The very first time I launched a course, girl, I had $0, 0 cents. Nope. Like, I'm talking about dry. So I asked my audience, hey, how come you guys didn't buy this? You said you wanted it, but when I launched it, you didn't make a peep. They told me why. The second time, you know, it was a 5-figure launch. So my biggest tip to you is, take everything as feedback. If you fail, if it doesn't go as planned, take it as feedback. Like, that's my drop mic tip for you today.
I love it. Take this as feedback, y'all. This whole episode is feedback. So all the questions that you've been asking and all the things you've been thinking, it is feedback. But Bree, thank you so much. You are such a gem. You are appreciated. Like I said, we didn't come to play in this season. I literally had a whole nother perspective of what the season was going to be about. And then God placed it on my heart to literally create a blueprint. And once we really reflect back and look at the episodes, your episode number 6. So once we look back at all the episodes, and we have a bonus episode, episode 11, it literally maps out the steps.
That's so good.
We always talk about the steps that God has ordered for us, right? And I literally, when I say a whole different perspective, I was like looking for business owners who were in relationships to do a season about. And I was so gung-ho on that. And literally, God speaks to me another way. He speaks to me by me picking up a pen and I just start writing things that I didn't even have as a thought in my head. So when I saw that, I'm just like, this is so crazy. So like I said, I came to make hell nervous in this season. I came to shake some things up. I came to make millionaires out of this season, literally. And not just by our words, but by them committing to the people that we have on the show to really commit in your programs and really get in and take what is needed, because a lot of people don't know the proper people to look for. And we have over 40,000 listeners. So someone, not even someone, tens of thousands of people at this point are listening and going to connect with you guys on that level and really invest in their business to get to that next level. So I'm excited what we're going to do here.
Yeah, I'm excited. And I just, it's exciting to know that someone will listen to this podcast and they're going to be able to stop doing the most. And they're going to be able to have that business that's sustainable and feasible and profitable. So
we receive. Boss friends, we receive that. But boss friends, you already know what time it is. It's time to wrap up the episode. This is season 5, code word sales for Brianna, but code word blank overall. You know, every episode we've been adding a code word. So here we are at code word sales. I can't wait for next week to come around. I'm not going to tell you the code word until the next week. I'm not going to lock the code words, of course, as you know, until the beginning of every show. So just sit on the edge of your seats, share these episodes, make sure that you are unlocking the wealth and someone is getting into the code words, because you are helping the next level business owner. You know, we here in this podcast, we are not selfish. We spread the wealth. But until next time, boss friends, it's hugs and kisses. And I'm so bossy. And I'm so bossy.